Welcome to The Debate. When you build a suspension bridge, right, the math is solved before a shovel ever hits the dirt. But in sheet metal enclosure design, a perfect CAD file can just, you know, instantly become garbage on the shop floor.
Yeah, just because of the rolling grain.
Exactly. So today, we're debating who actually controls the success of a bent corner. Is it the designer's strict flat pattern geometry in the software, or the brake press operator's physical reality? I argue that corner failures, tearing, buckling, broken gasket seals, these are purely geometric problems, and they're permanently solved by rigorous CAD flat pattern rules.
Right, and I argue that CAD models are, well, dangerous illusions without physical context. Material physics and fixed tooling constraints dictate the final part, not digital lines on a screen.
Look, if we don't treat this as a geometric problem first, we are just guessing. Take a basic corner relief at a two-bend intersection.
Okay.
If you don't mathematically calculate that relief in the flat pattern, the metal literally bunches up. The two sides fold up, and the material collides and buckles like tectonic plates.
Sure. Assuming...
Wait, but the formula is simple. Minimum width equals the material thickness plus the inside radius. Do that in CAD, and you give compressed metal a calculated void to flow into. Problem solved before you ever cut metal.
Flow into, sure, but that's assuming the radius you typed into the software is the radius you actually get on the floor, which, you know, is an illusion.
How is it an illusion?
Because CAD software will happily let you break the laws of physics. It assumes metal stretches infinitely. It will blindly hold a 0.5 millimeter bend just because you keyed it in. But on the shop floor...
You're airbending.
Right, where the punch presses the sheet metal down into the V-die.
Exactly.
Into empty space, rather than bottoming out against the metal. So the physical width of that die opening is what actually dictates your inside bend radius. Your CAD doesn't control that. Gravity and the physical die do.
Well, if your perfectly calculated relief hits a reality where the shop only stocks a narrower V-die, your radius tightens, tonnage spikes, and your digital expansion joint completely fails.
Yeah, but that's exactly why standardizing the process in CAD is so powerful. You design to the tools and methods you should use. Think about standardizing a cold-formed corner.
Uh-huh.
You flare and crop the geometry right in the software instead of leaving it up to a welder. By making that geometric choice, you literally eliminate the need for welding entirely. How can you argue with removing a massive heat distortion variable before the metal is even cut?
Right.
You remove leak paths and, you know, you save the brushed finish from being destroyed by a grinder.
You save the finish, yeah, but you cannot geometrically standardize away material physics. Let's say you use that exact cold-formed flat pattern. If the operator bends it parallel to the rolling grain, it splits.
Oh, sure. If they do that, it...
The rolling process at the mill elongates the crystal structure of the metal. Bending parallel just pulls those grains apart until they snap. Your standardized CAD file doesn't inherently know which way the grain is running on the physical sheet.
Which is why strict design for manufacturing rules mandates specifying grain direction on the drawing. We can control for that geometrically.
Even if you specify it, alloys behave drastically differently. Like 5050-32 aluminum forms beautifully. But take that same standardized CAD pattern and apply it to 304 stainless steel.
You get spring back.
Massive spring back. The metal naturally wants to return to its flat state, pulling your flanges completely out of square. Or look at 6061-6 aluminum, which demands a massive overbend and a radius up to 4 times the thickness just to survive the press. Software assumes uniform perfection, but metal is messy.
Metal is messy, I'll give you that, but that's why the mathematical rules exist to tame it. Take flange heights, for instance.
Right, the 4 times thickness rule?
Exactly. 4 times the material thickness plus the radius. If you don't set it mathematically, you're gambling. The flange needs enough physical surface area to actually catch on the edges of the V-die during the bend.
Yeah, otherwise it slips.
Right. It slips down into the channel and the part is instantly scrap. That is a geometric rule that prevents a physical disaster.
Well, I don't disagree with the physics of the V-die catching the flange. That makes sense. But my point is that the shop's physical tool rack dictates that die size, not the designer's ideal math. If the math doesn't match the reality of the tooling, it's just fiction.
So we are really arguing about the sequence of authority here. I maintain that preemptive flat pattern geometry is the ultimate defense. You have to build the rules into the software first to prevent failure.
And I maintain that physical constraints, the grain structure, the spring back, the shop's tooling rack, are the undeniable realities that govern whether the enclosure survives.
Though we definitely agree on one absolute boundary. Violating a material's minimum inside bend radius guarantees cracked outer fibers.
Oh, absolutely. Push a material beyond its physical elongation limit, and the outer surface rips open. There is no software patch for torn metal.
Yeah, clearly, designing a successful enclosure means looking simultaneously through the lens of theoretical geometry and physical manufacturing. We encourage our listeners to pull up the bend tables in the source material and see how these digital and physical constraints collide.
The data's right there in the tables. You just have to know what tooling is going to hit it.
So next time you lock in a flat pattern, ask yourself, are you building a mathematical bridge that only exists on a screen or one that can actually bear the tonnage in the real world?